Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, it goes back to the destiny thing. I mean, I made a bargain with it, you know, a long time ago, and I'm holding up my end.
What was your bargain?
To get where I am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander.
On this earth?
And in this earth, and then in a world we can't see.
It's not clear to me that I think there will exist a general purpose device that does everything you want, because I don't think the whole world's going to be able to afford 5 devices per person in the bubble of Terranea.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry.
Don't step on the 1. You got to start on the 2. Find the 2. You understand?
I told you I never did any of these dances before.
Now it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, music starts. Flanker! Don't dance till the 2. Got it? Nice.
Flanker!
Breathe. Frank? Nope.
Well said!
Flanker!
Well said!
Flanker!
Well said! Flanker! Might not pick up on.
Listen, where are you?
Ball goes in the hoop a lot.
Flanker!
Swimming.
Flanker!
Here comes the music right now.
Wilson!
3, 2,
Art,
and 1.
Food.
Go!
Wilson,
where
are you?
It's not like we're special.
Nothing gets in our way. Boom! Keep coming hardcore!
Gentlemen,
I feel a heart.
I have a plan. It's called blackmail. As you know, the royal family of Britain are the wealthiest landowners in the world. Either the royal family pays us an exorbitant amount of money, or we make it seem that Prince Charles has had an affair outside of marriage and therefore would have to divorce.
Yes.
Can I get one shot of the vaccine?
No.
Why not?
Because I have better immunity than I would if I was vaccinated. Right?
Yes.
Don't I?
Right. Okay, people, you have to tell me these things, all right? I've been frozen for 30 years, okay? Throw me a freaking bone here. I'm the boss.
Tell me how both of those thoughts connected. How can you believe that your government is oh so powerful that they're able to wreck the entire world? You can also fight them with your AK-47. Please explain that.
5 days later, I was negative. And I do have the natural antibodies now. Why would I take a chance in getting vaccinated on top of that? By the way, I'm glad you're here.
Test,
better.
Test,
that
test,
only
test,
lasted
test,
a day.
Test,
you
test,
only
test,
want to see it in the squad.
Test.
No.
Hello?
Yo, what's up?
What's happening?
Finishing this email real quick. What's up with you guys?
Maze isn't here yet.
Okay, well, let's do questions without him then. Just kidding.
Hold on a second. We're going to let Batman voice. Hold on a sec here.
Okay.
It's not just a signal. It's a warning. How's that?
That was good. That was really good, actually.
It's not just a signal. It's a warning. It says fans are going crazy for Patterson. What's his name?
I don't...
Robert Pattinson's caped crusader voice.
Oh, is he Batman now?
It's not just a signal. It's a warning. Yeah. It's like literally, it's like that's the clip that was released. This teaser, mini teaser. I guess there's a trailer coming out today.
Nice.
Where's Ilya? Is he here?
He's here. He's waiting for you to call him.
Oh, I don't know if I have his. Can you add him?
Sure.
I never know how to. Is it two L's?
One L.
Yeah.
I L I? I L I, yeah. I just added him.
So oh, there it is.
Yeah.
I always think there's a Y in there somehow.
Sometimes it's spelled I L Y A. Like, there's a famous ice skater, Ilya Kulik. He spells it with a Y. I always Ilya? Thought it was with a Y. But now that if Ilya's here, he can explain that
Ilya,
the English spelling doesn't matter that much.
That's just a signal. It's a warning.
Yeah, it's Cyrillic. So we have our Russian letters, and when you translate it to English, you're just picking whichever letters shit. You feel like picking.
Is the closest, right? Yeah, like it's
hold
just
hold on, people. Hold on. I'm not recording. I lost all my great jokes.
Oh no.
I'm right, recording. Stay right there, I'm recording though.
All right. Oh, you got my great joke. I'll yeah. back. Come on.
Hold on.
It's good.
Ilya, you missed Jade's Batman impression. And now it's just me talking to myself, I guess.
I got muted there for a second. I don't know why. I missed Jade's Batman impression.
Well, it's his impression of the latest Batman teasers. So I guess
I haven't
it's,
seen them, so I'm going in blind.
Yeah, it's apparently Robert Pattinson. Is that his name? I don't know. I mean, I know that he's like the Twilight guy, but that's the only thing I know about him.
Say. He was like a vampire like 15 years ago or something.
Oh my God, it was like 15 years ago at this point, because I remember Twilight came out when I was in college.
It's just the two of us now? What's going on here?
I don't know. Jade said he was coming back.
And
there he is. May said he's going to be late. He said he was going to be a few minutes here. Late, but it's...
He's ready.
Okay. Because we can't ask any questions until the person that asks the questions get here, right?
Ilya, what's this? It's not just a signal. It's a warning.
Oh, shit.
Eden already that? Told me that you're doing impressions of Batman trailers. Yeah, so.
Not just a signal. It's a warning. Maze, who's that?
Doc Rivers.
That was a pretty good guess.
I mean, that sounds like just gruff movie guy.
William Patterson. William?
Robert.
Is that his name? Robert, sorry. Pattinson?
Trying to be the new Batman?
That's just a signal. It's a warning.
So, yeah, you're just doing Batman voice. That's all that is. That's not how he sounds.
Happy Halloween, by the way.
Halloween's not for like 3 weeks. 2 weeks.
Not for the person that just tuned in 2 weeks late. You know what I mean? There's someone listening to this right around Halloween. Maybe on Halloween.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
Happy Halloween, person. See?
We should cater all of our podcasts to the people who listen 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later, yeah.
Merry Christmas while we're at it.
Wait, where are you?
Time is relative and circular. We're so meta over here.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, good. Oh, sorry. Now I'm recording. You're recording. Well, you got all those good
jokes. I have
jokes.
Everything. Yeah, okay. I have.
Wow.
She's got it all.
Wait, Maze, where are you?
I'm in Old Town Scottsdale.
And what are you doing there?
Tripping in the desert?
For a wedding. I wish I was tripping in the desert. Wedding. No. People get married. That's what happens.
How far away from Phoenix is Scottsdale again? It's pretty close, right?
It's right next to it. It's like, if I understand correctly.
It's like Dallas and Fort Worth.
They have a freeway that's like a big circle. And at different points on the circle is Scottsdale and Phoenix. And I think there's even another weird little town down here. But it's all the same desert.
Yeah, I haven't been in Phoenix in like 10, 15 years. And I have to go on a trip in like 2 weeks. So
for real?
Just
for
making
what?
Sure.
What you got there?
For tennis. It's always tennis.
A little tennis trip, eh? I knew it.
Yeah, a little tennis.
Wait, when
do
you
have
another tennis?
Yeah, the other one is Glendale. So it's Glendale, Scottsdale, and Phoenix are right on top of each other here.
By the way,
the place I'm going to is called Surprise, Arizona.
Oh, yep. I just see that on the map. It's just west of Glendale. So
there you go.
Not that much of a surprise, actually.
Right next to Downer, Arizona. Did you get that? Thank you. I'll cut out my. Did you get that?
Cut out the pause. Yeah.
Do you think, Ilya? Do you think you could beat Prim Sripapad at tennis?
Oh man. I plead the fifth.
Hasn't she ripped her knee up pretty good?
Didn't you? Did you play in college?
Yeah, I played at Columbia. She played at Duke.
Whoa. Columbia.
Yeah, we can have a Duke versus Columbia.
What was your major?
Tennis. Economics and political science. Tennis. Yeah, I was just there for the tennis.
That was funny. I appreciate that. Anyway, so Ian, we missed your thoughts on Squid Game last week. You weren't here. We did a long discussion on it.
Oh, y'all went more on Squid Game? Wow.
We did the whole thing. Did the whole thing. Everybody liked it. Me, Maze, and Zach, that is. And loved it.
Oh, because we didn't finish it the first time.
No, we only did the first episode. Really.
Yeah, that's right.
What?
So how many episodes did it take people to figure out that the old man was an inside
you
job?
Know, that's an interesting question, Ilya, because the whole time I was thinking there has to be an inside man here, so to speak. But I didn't know it was the old man. I just...
Oh, come on. He was number one. He was always like, there are plenty of signs. Dementia. All of a sudden I remember things. Oh, wait, I have dementia. Oh, all of a sudden I remember things.
So you figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I knew for sure, but like by the second episode, I was like, "There's something fishy about this old man." And then I did see that people were like posting stuff about like there's the tug of war scene where his handcuffs are not locked while everybody else is locked, and like, and then when he, I don't know, are we allowed to like just spoil the entire show for our listeners?
Yeah,
here,
we already spoiled it last week.
At this point, yeah.
Okay. And then obviously when he gets eliminated and he gets shot, you don't see him actually get shot. And like, everybody else you kind of see get shot. So,
I actually didn't notice that point.
That's
but you're
the
right.
Only one. Because at that point, I was kind of following it like that. Because I remember when the other girl, I forget her name, it's blurred out. It was like kind of done in a blur. They rack focused to her face.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been like Netflix adding the blur out later, because I heard there were stories about like people complaining that it was too gory, and then Netflix like had to like adjust certain scenes. So maybe originally it wasn't blurred out for the girl, and then they blurred it out a little.
We were pretty early, like our group here. We were doing it before anyone was doing it. So I think as I recall,
that's interesting though, because like a lot of the times on Korean shows, they'll censor violence, like. If there's like a knife fight or something, they'll blur out the knife when there's like a knife fight happening. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, when I hear funny thing, I actually have a friend who's a musician. His name is Jim Wolf. He's here in Connecticut. Friend of a friend, I should say. And he is a singer-songwriter. And he's had one of it, and it's like very light singer-songwriter love songs about his kids. It's very G-rated stuff. And he's had a track very popular in South Korea for like 3 years now. It's been on like the top 50. And he gets played, some of his songs get played in Korean soap operas. And whenever I've seen these videos, I'm always like, it's a very tame, nice culture. And then I see Squid Game. Like, where'd this come from? You know what I mean? It's so sadistic. So I was surprised at the level. I wonder, do they show it like that in Korea, or is it just an American way of seeing it? I don't know.
See, I have a totally different impression of Korean culture because I've watched.
That's not my
some
impression of
similar-
it. It's just, anecdotal. I
it's
think.
Just that, like, here, Eden probably is more of an expert on this, but like, where would you rank Squid Games in terms of like violence and gore versus the other shows, and just in general in terms of enjoyment? Because I think Eden and I, we discussed offline that like we think Squid Games is fine, but like it doesn't really stand out in terms of quality or in even in terms of like drama and violence compared to some of the other shows that we've seen.
Like, it's pretty straightforward, right? Like, I feel like
the plot is like, for me at least, I thought it was very straightforward compared to the other Korean shows that we've
seen. There's like Korean shows with like much more like different levels of complexity and just like things that you have to kind of like think about as you watch it.
What the hell is that? My son on here.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by those big wireless providers, if I've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, okay, what's it gonna be this time? But after experiencing their service myself, it hit me. There isn't one! Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs tacked on in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on those sweet savings direct to you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your current phones with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Same cell phone experience, but at a fraction of the cost. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service shipped to your door for free, starting at just $15 a month by going to mintmobile.com/ding. That's mintmobile.com/ding, D-I-N-G, slash your wireless bill down to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ding.
Yeah, I wonder if the simplicity kind of makes it easier for people to consume it, though, being that it's foreign.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a reason why it became so popular. It almost works like a American, like you could almost see it as like a reality show.
Right.
It's like lowest common denominator.
It taps into that reality show thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Maze and Zach were saying. Like, I think it was Zach that said that he thought it was a reality show.
That was me. Like,
oh, that was
when
you.
I first
Before starting it.
In the Netflix.
So somebody tried to describe the show to me. And the way they were describing it, I was like, oh, so this is just like a reality show. And they didn't even tell me that it was a Korean show. So I thought that there was an American show where they were getting people that were in like financial problems to go on TV and do like an American reality TV show where they were like basically getting shot at. And I was like, wait, how is this happening? Like does the government know about this TV show? Like they're letting this fly. And then eventually they like explained to me that it was a Korean and it wasn't actually a real TV show.
Ilya, we're getting there. I'm telling you, not far. We are not far. Sign of things to come. But yeah, like, I thought, well, wait, but ultimately, what would you give it out of 10, Eden?
Like a 7. Like, it was very watchable. Like, it was very entertaining. I was entertained the whole time. I just didn't have to think too much about it, though. And I kind of like shows that sort of force me to pay more attention. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually have to follow the conversation, the dialogue. Like, a lot of people, like, I hope they didn't watch it dubbed, but God, I just mean, if they didn't even have subtitles, you can actually kind of figure out what's happening. Like, yeah. Does that make sense? Because, like, even if you just were watching, you had no subtitles, it's the point still gets across. I kind of like, I put value in shows that force me to pay a lot of attention and to make me connect the dots on my own. Like when they reference a scene from like episode 2 and like episode 15 and you're like, oh shit, you know, like there's like sort of like that moment where everything comes together. This was just very straightforward. It was good. I loved watching it. Like,
I'm gonna push back a little on that though, Eden, because there was plenty of stuff that, like, there was a lot of foreshadowing. There was a lot of clues being dropped. Like Ilya talking about the old man, like in episode 1 with Red Light, Green Light, he's not even getting targeted by the crazy robot girl. She's like, everybody else is like being motion detected and has like light around them on the screen, but he's not. And then like there's tons of little details like that are in there that,
well, I'm not saying
away stuff like that.
Yeah. But wouldn't you say if the viewer picks up on those little details, then that's just normal though. There's not that much like surprise or like, whoa, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of saying is like, I want it to be like, oh shit, I didn't think of that. And now I get why it's coming together. Like, I missed that entirely.
You know? You wanted a twist.
Hold on a second. Pause it there, Ilya. Hold on a second. I got to bring on Lisa Roger here.
Hey, listener. Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks. That's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me, personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. You're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Lisa, you here?
Hi.
Lisa.
What's happening?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Bag that meeting. Bag it.
Oh, I can't. Not this one.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys? It's great to hear your voices.
I haven't spoken to you in 2 years. Maybe longer?
I know. No, it's like a year and a half.
A year and a half. Time flies. Lisa hit me up yesterday because she got a memory on her phone. Those great memories you get. I love them because I have kids. And sent me our pictures from Chicago, Eden.
I know. She texted me too.
Our boat tour. What was the funniest part of that?
Happy Halloween.
The funniest part of that boat tour was Kevin Pelton coming up just late.
Just and with Jerome like photoshopping. I'm like, yeah, just jump in.
That was so funny. He was just like threw his arms up in the air. Oh my god, it was so funny. Still think he should have just dropped down from one of the bridges, you know? As we were.
Yeah, we would have caught him.
Oh, did you watch Squid Game, Lisa?
Oh my gosh, yes. I binged it in like 2 days, which I don't know if that was like the best thing for me mentally because, you know, it's pretty dark, but it was still amazing. I loved it.
The one thing that is interesting, no matter what, it's the first show since Game of Thrones that everyone has watched.
Yeah, there's waves of it. Yeah. Like, there's people that are...
I didn't even watch Game of Thrones.
Just started it this week.
Just pretended to.
Well, pretended to. If Game of Thrones was in Korean, Eden would have watched it.
I'm not even kidding. So, y'all know how we did the book club for Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
You just faked your way through that shit?
No. The last season of Game of Thrones I'd watched before that was like season 4.
Nice.
Well, I missed 5 three is seasons the. In between and I still think 5 is the dropout season.
Well, I just mean like in that I was able to follow everything that happened in the finale, like the final season, having dropped off halfway through the series without watching the filler means that like I just didn't miss that much. It was all filler.
It was true
killer.
5 is when it kind of for me fell off the cliff. So the season
and Succession comes back this weekend.
Oh, I can't
Sunday,
wait.
Baby. Speaking of, we got queued up starting next week. So excited. Getting Jake back. We got Eden back. We're watching Succession.
Yes, we're getting the club back together.
The real Hoy. The real McHoy.
Sadie's the real Hoy.
Have we actually seen Jake and Jade in the same room? I mean, don't say yes because we have, but like, pretend like we haven't.
In real life? Oh, he was at the New York show.
Yeah. Jake. So I was like, as I was saying that, I was like, actually, I may have, but we can pretend like we haven't.
You saw Lee and Harvey that night.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. I thought from our first episode 2 weeks ago that Eden, you really liked the Squid Game. You just like that it's being popularized.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
Gotcha.
That was the thing was like, this isn't new territory for Eden. And what we were starting to talk about was how it's curious that this is the one that hit and that this is the one that got put on the front page of Netflix internationally and really took off, you know?
Yeah, because you can ask Ilya. I've made him watch other K-dramas with me.
Ilya's is true.
In exchange for eating margarita pizzas only.
You said, I think, I'll just add one thing. I think before Lisa joined the call, we were talking about how Squid Game for Eden and I didn't have as much twists and turns as certain other K dramas, I guess, that we've seen. So just to name drop a few, I think Vincenzo is one where there's an Italian mafia. Well, he's actually Korean, but he's in the Italian mafia. And then he comes back to Korea and like makes shit happen. And like there's a lot of plot development, a lot of character development, a lot of twists and turns in that one.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I totally agree with you. For me, I'm not seeing that as like, I don't know. It's not like contrasting.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing either. I'm also saying like, I think I just have a preference for shows that are like more psychological, like that fuck with your mind a little bit as you're watching it. Like it's objective.
I remember in episode 2 and 3, you know, Zach was texting how much he loved it and I was kind of like in between. I was like, it kind of slowed down significantly there for me after episode one. And I was like, I was kind of wanting a little more. It came around ultimately for me. You know, I agree with the 7, maybe 8 I would give it for me.
But, yeah, like maybe a 7.5, like on a good day.
Yeah.
Also, LeBron and Anthony Davis had a very good point that the finale, I mean, the way they ended, was very corny. And
the finale was tough. That was a little like, but you know how shows are with the setups for season two? Nine is always, or in this case, 8 is always better than 9, or 9's better than 10. The setup.
Wait, season, LeBron and Anthony Davis said that?
It was slow. The last one was slow. I was just like, come on already. Let's go.
I mean, they really could have. I mean, he could really go see his daughter first and then come back. But whatever.
Just no, saying. Eden. He can't. He got his hair did. He's got to take down Squid Game right now.
And the thing that I totally didn't get ultimately was how the front man was running this operation solo. Like, really?
Yeah. Also, one conspiracy theory. Do you think that the police officer is dead?
No.
The one whose brother shot him off the cliff?
100%, no, I don't think so. Not dead.
So I'm guessing that in season two, probably the police officer and his brother are going to be like, play a big role. Especially if the main character is trying to.
Yo, by the way, y'all, that front man, he is a huge, like, very well known Korean actor.
Eden. Yeah. Eden, I said this last week. I represented for you. I'm like, if Eden were here, she would be telling us.
Thank you so much.
That's like Mads Mikkelsen or like Tom Cruise.
No, that's Mads Mikkelsen is a great. Yeah, no, I was seriously like when they did the reveal, I was like, oh shit, they got him. Like, yeah.
The front man. I didn't quite. I had to go back because I was like, who is this guy? I kind of knew they knew each other, but I was like, I missed that. That whole thing. Like, I was just like, what? Because that, if you go back to episode 2, they kind of go through that pretty quickly. They could have maybe dwelled on that storyline a little longer. You know?
They could have, I think. Yeah. And, like, it was underdeveloped. It was an underdeveloped storyline.
And I totally agree with there was the lack of twists throughout. Like, it wasn't enough to. But ultimately, I was like, I don't really care. Like, you got through it. I mean, it was a very easy show to get through, you know?
We knew that somebody had to win, and it was probably going to be the main character. So that wasn't a surprise at all. But I still think they did like the marbles was a good twist. Like, that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the development of that other, what's his name? What's the character, the banker's name?
Sang-woo.
His character development I thought was excellent. I loved it, especially when he pushes the guy off the bridge scene.
Have an old man and a woman. The rest of us have to be men.
But anyway, so yeah, Squid Game. So
I mean, Lisa, I still recommend it, you know? Like, I'm not, y'all act like I'm over here hating on it. I'm just, all I did was it a 7, saying it was very watchable.
I actually think you're right. I totally think think it got a little too overhyped, you know, but then again, it's one of those things.
Don't worry, Eden, I'm updating the spreadsheet right now for you.
Yes. 7. Thank you.
I don't think I critiqued it as much. Yeah, I just didn't critique it as much because I feel like sometimes the psychological thriller ones or things like that, I can only handle so much. So for me, it was like, oh, I like this. This is enough. But beyond that, I can handle. So I'm like, for someone like me, it's great. But beyond that, I'm out. So
yeah, that's why I was like, that's why I was saying, like, I feel like it's subjective on my part. Like, I'm only rating it lower based on my preference. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Totally.
It was essentially a guilty pleasure sports movie.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't it just like a competition the whole time and there's some gore and like drama, but like, you know that there's like 7 or 8 main characters and they're all like competing for a prize. And, you know, that's kind of the drama. It's just a competition. Like in terms of developing the individual character, like arcs, there just wasn't that much of that. And that's probably what Eden and I were looking for.
I don't know about that. Like, because I remember in Marbles, there was the big question coming off of that episode was which of those scenes were most impactful to you? And to me, it was the one between the two girls because it was the most honest. It was, they were the most honest, or she is. Her name is Hoy, by the way. And a real name. And like,
well, that was more of a reveal, right? So like the one that sacrificed herself like reveals a little bit of her backstory. But in terms of like characters changing, like the finance main character, guy is always the finance guy. The Pakistani kid is always like a little too empathetic, and that costs him.
But he cheats him out of that game, right? He basically lies to him. And the
her
other
name is
one,
Ho-Yan. I was so confused. Yeah. I was Hoy. Like,
Hoy. Yeah, Hoy. Obviously,
and,
you didn't.
And our main character tries to lie to the old man. He does lie. He actually loses. Yeah. And so the woman, Hoyan, that scene to me was the most heartbreaking. So I liked that. I liked the way he did that. That was really, really good. Just the contrasting of those, all those storylines. And then, of course, the gangster. The gangster, actually, I thought was more admirable than the other two, you know, because he won fair and square ultimately. With the, you know, when they were trying to toss the marbles into the hole. So I like the way all those had different intricacies of like, or nuances of how they win. Yeah. Even though
the gangster did change the rules of the game, right? Halfway
but he
through.
Got,
and then,
but it was,
and
it was
before
legal.
Before that, he cheated with the.
Yeah, it was like a little loophole.
Yeah.
He got permission, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And so does the guy. Go ahead. Next.
I'm only with like a few minutes, but I just want to say hi.
Like 3 seconds.
Well, we'll get
I
you
know.
Back.
I can
we'll
come
get
back.
You back when you have more
again.
Time.
Give us a little help with this.
Yeah, normally my Fridays are actually pretty open, so you can just call me whenever, and I'll talk and chat, and I'll tell you how I like Succession.
Awesome. All right, Lisa.
All right, well, you guys,
Lisa, love you.
Fun.
Knock
love
up dead
you.
In that meeting. Knock up dead.
Well, I mean, it's just lunch, so
do they
I'm
still
just going to eat. So.
Knock that lunch dead, Lisa.
Hell yeah.
Later.
Okay. Bye.
Love of my life, you've hurt me. You've broken my heart, and now you leave me. Love of my life, can't you see? Bring it back, bring it back. Don't take it away from me, because you don't know what it means to me.
You don't know it.
That's all right.
Love of my life, don't leave me. You've stolen my love, you now desert me. Love of my life, can't you see? Bring it back, bring it back. Don't take it away from me, because you don't know what it means to me. You will remember when this is blown over and everything's all by the way. When I grow older, I will be there at your side to remind you how I still love you. I still love you. I still love you. I still love you, love you, love you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, hurry back, hurry back. Don't take it away from me, because you don't know what it means to me. Love of my life, love of my life.
Thank you.
But yeah, anyway, just
wait, Ilya, what was your rating? I don't remember.
I will have to refer to my spreadsheet, but it was probably somewhere in the sevens.
Okay.
Yeah, it was probably like a 7.5.
Yeah. What do we got for the old questions this week? Who's doing them?
I got them.
Maze, of course.
So,
how come you're not hung over? Real...
What?
You're not hung over anything. Weren't you rocking last night?
I am hung over.
Oh,
I dragged my butt out of bed and walked and got a bagel and then almost immediately gave myself the hiccups, which is like a devastating podcast injury.
Nice.
Like, is there anything worse than having the hiccups during a podcast? Like, you crippled your ability to talk. Damon Johnson asks, colored pencils or crayons?
Yo, shouts to Damon.
Colored pencils for me.
Yeah, I don't know the last time I've actually touched a crayon. Definitely pencils.
What are the kids like, Jade?
Both. There's no, they just love both. Markers,
whatever
markers.
Is closest, they'll just use in like a whirling dervish.
I think though, ultimately, they do less crayoning than anything. Well, Sadie does. Grayson's been working on a comic with markers. Josie loves to paint. Sadie does everything, but she's got a lot of detail-oriented stuff in her art. So she likes to paint. She would probably prefer colored pencils. Problem with that is the sharpening. You just sharpen them all the time. You know.
But crayons turn into those, like, nubby, rounded. Yeah. Like, they're not easy to color with either. Do people sharpen crayons? No, they don't.
You can. Yeah, you can
sharpen crayons, but they don't. They just kind of...
Yeah, they just get flat.
I have a giant
I kind of like the meat. It's a different medium. And plus, they if you don't have any candles and the lights go out, you can burn them.
You can melt
them. They're multi-purposed.
Yeah, they like them all. They're all fond of art. I really like the thing Grayson's working on right now. It's a comic book. It's called... Grizzly and Duck.
Is it about a bear and a duck?
Yeah. But he's got the
knife. I was expecting it not to be. It'd be funnier.
He does the paneling. It's well, I've always brought them up. Like, I've always told them stories about animals in the backyard. You know, Reggie the Red Fox, yeah. Bill the Bear. So I went to the toy store with Josie this morning.
What'd she pick out?
She is the best to go to a toy store with, by the way, because she doesn't want much. She likes to go around the store. Look at this, Dada. This is amazing, Dada. Check this out, Dada. Like, that ultimately, she just gets like two little, like $3 things, whereas Sadie will be like looking for the $300 thing, you know?
Naturally.
So it's fun to go to the toy store with Josie. So
it's like an art exhibit for her.
Yeah, like
she's like going to a museum. Yeah,
she got exactly. she loves those little just plastic animal figures that you would put on a shelf, you know. She and like when we were in Salem this past weekend, she picked up. We went to this really cool store that had a bunch of like just little toys, almost like from a flea market. And she found these little dogs that were like, they're like an inch big. They're tiny. And because she loves little things, you know, because she's little. And then she just, you know, she's holding on to them. And then we're, you know, going through the town and Josie just, you know, Josie, and all of a sudden she's lost them, you know. It's like, and then she's devastated that she's lost her dogs. So I had to go back twice to the store to replace the dogs. They're only $1 each. So $2 turned into $6 over the course of the day.
Aww.
Sounds like she's going to get into collectibles, like get her into like Pokemon cards or basketball cards or little. Because when I was a little kid, I used to collect like toy soldiers and stuff too. They had like really nice like replica toy soldiers that I would collect.
Funny, toy cards. It's funny you mentioned that because Grayson actually discovered cards, just like you're talking about. And he was like, what are these, Dad? I'm like, they're trading cards, you know? So I went, explained to him the whole thing. And I said to him, I said, you know, if you collect these and keep them in good condition, they'll be worth money. That'd be a nice thing, because a lot of the toys you get your kids, they end up in the trash. But it'd be nice if one of them developed like a collectible concept, because like later in their life, it's like they can cash in on it.
And you can pass it down generations.
You don't want kids to get into that. Like when I was in third grade and collecting Pokemon cards, that was like crack. Like I was so addicted to the feeling of opening a new pack of Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Hoping that I get a shiny Charizard or whatever, that like a
holographic, yeah.
It took over my life,
really,
for like a period there.
But that was like what you enjoyed, though. Like,
but then guess what? The Pokemon cards aren't worth dick, and I don't even know where they are.
Dude,
that doesn't take away from the joy.
I thought first generation Charizard cards were like selling for like $1 million.
Yeah, if you have it.
Isn't that like the Beanie Baby thing? Exactly, Beanie Babies
was another one. I went through that wave.
But you have to have the first edition of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's.
Uh oh.
Okay.
Oh,
completely useless.
Go again. We lost you.
There's rare ones, sure, but like you have to find those. And if you don't, you just spend a lot of time buying and collecting useless ones. And I'm right. just saying, like, yeah. it's a dangerous game if you're a kid because you don't have impulse control.
Right? But the same's true for garbage toys, like, too, though. Like, Sadie loves to just...
No, because there's not, like, the rarity effect, right? Like, if you believe that you could get something rare or valuable, like, you're more interested.
You know what she likes? Poppets. You know what Poppets are?
Hello, Poppet. Like those?
They're these like rubber plastic things. They're like it's like a stress device where you just kind of push these little circles.
Oh,
and they,
I've seen them on the corner store. Yeah.
They're like
half spheres, and you push them in and then they pop up.
Yeah, exactly. And they come in all different shapes, like ice cream cones and unicorns. Sadie. That's like her favorite thing to get. They're actually affordable, so I don't mind getting them. And she uses them, honestly. She actually uses them. Kind of funny to watch her use it. It's nicer than watching her on the phone, I'll tell you that much. You know?
Yeah, I think that's the thing right there is Maze is totally on point with the fear of becoming addicted and the lack of impulse control for kids. But like, you have to consider the alternatives where if like she's collecting like little toy soldiers or cards or something, that's probably better than spending like 10 hours a day on the phone on like TikTok or playing video games. It's a little more like productive.
If my son was to collect cards and put together a book and kept them in order, I would be stoked to see that, you know? Like when we were kids, we did that with baseball cards, and my brother did.
Yeah, now you're going to have to explain to him what NFTs are.
Yeah, I know. You know what I want? You know what I was looking for Greg? Because I thought he would have gotten a kick out of it, was Garbage Pail Kids. You guys remember Garbage Pail Kids?
Garbage Pouch Kids.
Oh, you don't know there were these cards. If you look them up on Google. Garbage Pail Kids. They were a play on Cabbage Patch Kids, but they were cards. And you would collect them. They had really funny names.
Yeah, I don't think those aged very well in terms of monetary value.
Yeah. I lost 2 Wayne Gretzky rookie cards, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Although hockey cards surprisingly don't do well in the market. So I actually used to collect a lot of cards and football and hockey do not like really sell for much, but basketball and baseball do pretty well. And now if Grayson's into soccer, right? He's like a big Messi fan. He's playing all the time.
Yeah.
He should find as many Messi rookie cards as he can, because those are going to be incredibly expensive, especially when he retires.
It's so hard to follow soccer, by the way. So many leagues. But I've been watching. I watched the qualifier, England-Hungary, the other night.
Well, I think the hardest part is that, like, because it's different leagues, you can't just, like, get one subscription, you know? Like, you can't just sign up for, like, BN Sports and, like, get all the soccer you want. Like, it's like you have to actually go and, like, subscribe to each one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have Ilya to tell me where to find it, then I wouldn't be able to.
I'm surprised ESPN hasn't signed, like, a multi-million dollar contract with at least one of the leagues, like the British, the EPL, the British
League.
They have
La Liga.
They have the Euros, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, international competition is different. That's like having a contract for, like, the U.S. Olympic team or whatever. It's better to sign the leagues because they have games every week.
La Liga, they do not have Premier League, as far as I know.
Well, that's really bad timing on them because they signed the La Liga contract right after Messi left.
So
nobody's really watching La Liga right now.
That's right. It's probably why he left, right? Ultimately.
But ESPN.
No, not ESPN, but one of the leagues probably just gave him, you know. I know it came through a team, but it probably had something to do with the league, actually. Where's Ronaldo?
Ilya, don't you know the answer to this?
Do I know the answer to this? Yeah.
I was like, don't you know it? Like, can't you just explain it? Because I'm like,
do we want to go into the cap situation of
La Liga? Just give us the short version.
Let's break it down. Give me the cap number.
Barcelona overpaid for a bunch of other players, so they couldn't afford Messi's salary anymore. And the only way he could re-sign under the La Liga rule for the cap was if he signed basically for free. And there's no way that the best player in the world is going to just play for free, even though it's the club that he joined since he was a 13-year-old. So they basically said that we can't sign Messi anymore, and he became a free agent. So then all the other teams in the world could sign him, and Paris Saint-Germain, the team in Paris and France, signed him for a big contract, and now he's there.
These garbage pail kids are disturbing, by the way. Realize how disturbing they are.
Yeah, I have like a vague recollection of them, but I think when I was a kid, I looked at them and I wasn't like, I wasn't really drawn to them, so I never bought one.
Disturbing. They were really trying to mess with our minds. What do we got next there, Maze?
Okay, this question is hilarious.
Sun Bernie.
Infamous at Lonnie Tsunami. My question is, what is Count the Dings? Listen to all of Cinephobe and only recently started to listen to the Friday Mailbag. I don't entirely get the format and references. And how is it related to Cinephobe? And why is Amin never on it?
Oh, my God. If only he knew. Only he knew. Wow.
So, Lonnie Tsunami, boy, do you have a lot to catch up on, I guess.
Just send him the link for the Thanksgiving episode.
Count the Dings came first, man. Cinephobe is one of the youngest podcasts we have on the network.
The Friday Mailbag goes all the way back to the ESPN days in 2015. Actually, it was originally the Ask Waz Mailbag, and we would collect basketball questions. It was hosted by Kevin Pelton, the original Anthony Mays, and it was a basketball show. And then when we left ESPN, we couldn't do basketball, so it turned into this kind of question format. Amin's been on. He actually asked me last time I spoke to him to get him on. So maybe we'll have to do that just for you. What's his name?
Lonnie Tsunami.
Jade is recounting the whole like genesis of the podcast, but not answering the actual question of what Count the Dings is, which is literally Count the Dings because there was a ding whenever somebody would say something funny.
Oh, well, hold on
though. Oh, wow. I totally forgot about that.
Remember when there were dings?
Well, Count the Dings is a play on Count the Rings. It's a play on that.
I didn't know that. Eden, did you know that?
I didn't know that either. Nope, I had no idea. Never heard this. First time I'm ever hearing this.
I don't know who.
I haven't been a part of this pod since 2017 or anything.
That came up somehow a couple times, and
when we had to change our name from Leverage the Chat in 2017 or 18, early 18, we had to find a new name. And honestly, I was so strapped for time. I was like, I had to build a website to launch. And I was just like, it literally was the first thing that came into my head. And the ding made sense. I actually love the name still. And
not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not seven dings.
But the dings, it's like, you know, it, count the dings. It's also like, I always think of it like ding being, you know, an idiot. So look, count the idiots in our group, you know.
Now that one makes sense.
No, that's count the dinks.
Maze, Amin, Trey.
And Amin's not on this show because, I mean, was he even ever on it at ESPN? No, right?
He's on the Thanksgiving episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Amin would always come on the show and go, what the hell? Like the same way he would react to Snark.
What is happening?
Whenever he heard Snark Hoops, he would just be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, he heard Snark Hoops for the first time at the Vegas live show. And
exactly. Remember that?
Had no idea what was happening.
That was so funny. John Hollinger, Tim McMahon. Wow. It's been a while, man. Like, this will be 4 years coming up this winter. Pretty amazing.
Whoop, whoop.
For all those haters, said we couldn't do it.
Which one?
I don't know. My subconscious, probably.
My daddy told me of plenty good people, and my mama, she told me more. Said, son, if you don't quit your rowdy ways, you'll have trouble at your door. Well, I finally listened to my mama, good people, then I would not have been here today. But I'm drinking and I'm shooting and again.
We're like going so fast. Like I feel like I'm missing.
Do you think that's a problem that your news network lies?
Well, I don't.
Dude,
I mean, what did they say?
They lied and said I was taking horse dewormer. First of all, it was prescribed to me by a doctor.